You know, to close this up on my part, I would like to show you one more visual that is important about prayer and meditation to me. Just like all of what I have shared today about my daily program, step 11 has to be scheduled in my day-to-day program, because I have to schedule it into my day, or my day will schedule it out of me practicing it. And I will prove a point with a simple visual. And this is, well, I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Sure.
I'm going to do it, my husband says. What I have here, I got to get it ready. Sorry, it was not opened. What I have here, for those of you who are not on the video, what I have in front of me is an empty jar. And that in and of itself represents my day. And I have walnuts. And these represent my nuggets of daily prayer and meditation. And then I also have some sand. And the sand itself represents the time that I have during my day. Now, if I'm taking this empty jar and filling it with the grains of the sand of my day, and then things that I've done throughout the day, they come, you know, it comes evening time, but I've lived my day, and then it comes evening time. And I try my best to squeeze all of the things, the parts of my life, you know, the concerns that I have, the prayers that I have for people, the time for meditation, that if I try my best, and I have a lot of people that I try to pray for every day, and see, I'm doing pretty good here. I got it, and I'm trying to put it all in there, and if I really work hard at this, that I can find some way to squeeze it all, oh, wait a minute, that I can squeeze this in. Well, rats. Okay, so this isn't working. So let's possibly look at this in another way. I'm going to take my prayers out of my jar, the nuggets of my walnuts. Bear with me here, and we're going to go back to the beginning of this, and I am going to start once again with what my husband and I call a do-over. Don't get these very often, but once again, we've got an empty jar. And if I start my day out with quiet time with God, my prayers, my meditation, if there is time that I've got a schedule upcoming and I don't know what to leave in and what to leave out, as Bob Seger would say, but if I pray about little Jacob that is in Oklahoma, and I pray for Marty and her son, and I pray for Jolene and her stepbook, and I pray for my sister who has had a lot of loss in her life, and my niece who lost her daddy and her brother to alcoholism. And if you have ongoing prayers, and then you take your day and you pour it within the same day, you will find that you not only have room for it all to fit in the jar, you also can, at the end of the day, still have room to end it with prayer. If I really look at this and recognize that I have a relationship with the God of my understanding and that it's a top priority in my life, I'm going to make it a top priority in my life. The order of my priorities for me, I found in step 5. First God, then myself, and then another human being. Now, for years, I have lived that backwards. I would try to please people, and then I would get aggravated. I'd get aggravated at myself, and then what I wanted to do was just blame God for crummy outcomes. But when I put God first, especially with the action of prayer and meditation, I can then take actions of good self-care and therefore have a much better chance of my relationship with you and others. It's not that difficult. You know, I have been known to be able to complicate a one-car funeral. When I went to try to put this workshop together, and I thought, oh, I know what I want to do. I want to do this. I'd like to bring in some cut apples. Oh, I bet I could do those walnut things. Oh, let's get a coffee pot. Oh, let's tape some pennies to it. Oh, we need an Al-Anon symbol. Where am I going to find that at? Oh, I better read this literature. Where's my favorite nugget? I mean, I could run amok with anything. And sometimes what I have to do is just say, God, I need your help. I'm setting this all aside. Will you give me a nudge on what I'm supposed to do? And I got to tell you, if I get a nudge from God, this is my slogan. It's not conference approved. You get a nudge, don't fudge. Get on with it. So we have some time that's going to be left, but I'm not quite finished yet. I have one more thing that I am going to do. And I'm going to set myself up. So hang on a minute. Take a nice drink of water. One of my absolute favorite pages or books that we have is this little blue book, As We Understood. It was brought out, I don't know if it came into being during the Seattle AA World Conference, or if it was in Toronto, I don't remember which one, but when I want to pray and meditate and I need some literature to do it, this is my go-to book. It's a simple little book, and this one was my sponsor in Omaha, Judy, who's in the big meeting in the sky now. This was her book. Her husband gave this to me after Judy passed away. It is an absolute treasure. It has her writings in it, her beautiful handwriting. I had some great adventures with Judy. My first sponsor laid the foundation that I stand upon. She gave me the basic principles that I have shared with you today, and I've kept working at them. We lived, I'll tell you another brief story since we've got some time here before I read this page. Bill and I were planning on getting married, and I'm not going to go into our wedding story, although it is quite exciting. But after we got married, Bill was transferred, and I need to back up the story, forgive me. Bill fell absolutely head over heels in love with recovery and the big book, and he still loves both of them, as well as the fellowship, all three. And we went from exciting, crazy insanity of active alcoholism to Bill going to meetings. And when he had time, he went to a meeting. And at night, because Bill used to write me poetry, instead of poetry, he would read to me from the big book. And I didn't know what was going on with these meetings. So between March and August, this is what went on. And so if I was going to have a relationship with him, I had to start going to meetings. So I went to open AA meetings. Now I'm not a member of Al-Anon. I am only a member of the AA fellowship this time. And we would go to speaker meetings and we would go to topic meetings, and it was meetings. And he got a sponsor, and I didn't say it to his face, but I called him the sponsor monster, because he was set on Bill working his program for at least a year before we were going to get married. And I had other ideas, but anyway, I did fall back in line. And he told me after an open speaker meeting, if you don't join him in recovery, he is going to outgrow you. Bite. I mean, that hurt. And so January, I waited till Bill went out of town, and I went to that first Al-Anon meeting that I bound through the door, as I said to when we first started. And I have, since that time, consistently gone to Al-Anon. But during this time that I was a member of the AA fellowship, no, that's wrong. I had started Al-Anon, that's right, in January, and Bill came up with going to a conference in Joplin, Missouri, because there was going to be these two guys talking about the big book by the name of Joe and Charlie. And I found out they were going to have a dance. And I thought, oh, now, Buckaroo, you aren't going by yourself. I am not allowing you to be dancing with those good-looking babes from AA. So I said, well, honey, of course I'd love to go with you to the conference. So off to Joplin, Missouri we went. And I heard my very first speaker. And she told things from a podium that I wouldn't have told a dead duck. I mean, my God, the woman tried to kill her husband. Well, actually, she successfully had killed him, and she had to revive him back. And after it was over with, I went up to her and said, would you be my sponsor? And she said, well, how long have you been in the program? And I said, I've been in since January. She said, well, how far along are you in your program? And I, by that time, wanted to catch up with Bill in his program, and he had already taken steps 1 through 5 and was working on 6 and 7. Well, I had a lot of catching up to do. So at this home group back in Kansas where I'm living, I went to my home group, asked everybody I could ask, and finally this one poor little woman named Marie said that she would be my sponsor. I said, great. When will you have time to listen to my 4th and 5th step? Now, I have not worked steps 1 through 3, but I'm a fast learner. And she said, well, how's Friday? Now, it's Wednesday. And I said, great. Give me your address. So I went over to Marie's house and took a fearful, immoral inventory and laid it on her and thought, I've caught up. I'm good. I'm looking good here. I'm like a dog. You know, I don't know come here from Sikkim, but I've caught up with Bill, so I'm happy. And so we go to this conference, and I asked this woman if she'd be my sponsor, and she said, well, how far along are you in your program? And I said, well, I've already finished steps 1 through 5. And she said, well, you know, I don't live in Kansas. I live in Arkansas. I said, I know, but I really am willing to go to any lengths. And she said, well, let's give this a try. Well, I didn't know what the name of Jesus I was getting into, but boy, I'll tell you, I soon learned. She had assignments, and she would ask me questions, and this is long before the internet, so I would send her my answers, and then she sent it back to me with red markers circling things saying, what the hell does this say? She couldn't read my writing because it was so bad. And she said, this is not working. One, you do not even know what step one is all about. So we're going to start all over again. Well, okay. And we're not going to be doing this through this writing thing, because if your writing doesn't improve, I can't handle this. So, okay, what do you suggest? So she came up with the idea of doing cassette tapes. Yes, this was during cassette tape times. So she would send a cassette with questions, and I would dictate and take, as she dictated, I would take the questions down. And then I would answer the questions, get my cassette tape recorder, and I would push, and then I would send her the answers, and then I would ship that back to her. I mean, I cannot believe we did this, but we did. And this was from March or April until, let's see, Bill and I were getting married, so it would have been September the 3rd, and I would like to tell you that Bill and I have successfully been married. We just celebrated our anniversary, and we had 37 consistent years of marriage to the same person. We can't always say that, so it's something that we celebrate immensely. And this thing went on as far as how we were working the steps back and forth, and that's how I got my first sponsor. And the week before we got married, Bill was having some difficulty as far as guilt from with his kids, and he called and canceled the wedding. And I was living with a woman who was severely depressed and was suffering from anorexia and bulimia. And she had talked about suicide for some time, and I came home that evening after work. Actually, I got a phone call that she hadn't shown up for work, and I just knew. I came home, and sure enough, my roommate Donna, that I'd had for several years, I had taken her life with the car fumes. And I mean, everything went away, guys. I had quit my job. I had no place to live because I couldn't live in the house. The smell was so bad from the fumes. And I didn't have the potential as far as a future marriage either, because Bill had canceled it. So I called my sponsor and she said, do you still love him? And I said, yes, I do. And she says, so you still want to get married? And I said, if he shows up, I do. And for the first time, I took step six. I remember raising the garage door, and I remember sitting before I called my sponsor on the steps, and I stared at my roommate. And I thought, you know, that could be me. That could have been my choice, because everything was going away. But Al-Anon had given me such a desire to live and to live joyously, and had given me back the relationship with the God of my understanding that I was entirely ready to have God remove the defects of character. And I humbly ask him to remove my fear. And so my sponsor says, well, you're getting married in a few days, maybe. Show up at the church, and if Bill shows up, take God in there with you. And if Bill shows up, take him with you in your marriage. If he doesn't show up, give me a call and you'll make it through this. But I did show up, and so did Bill, and we got married. And We have come a long, long way, my love.
Amen.
So this beautiful woman that sponsored me those first 2 years, Bill had gotten a promotion in his job, and he was moved from Kansas City, Missouri, to all places, but to Little Rock, Arkansas, where my sponsor that was sponsoring me by mail lived. So we got married and we moved down there, and for 2 beautiful years, they cradled me back into life. Because if you go through a suicide with someone, particularly living with them for as long as Don and I did live as roommates, it's a long process. It's, if it's 5 miles in the woods, it's 5 miles out. But those women in Arkansas put me back together. And after 2 years, Bill got another transfer, and we were going to be moved to Omaha, Nebraska. And I said, Omaha? Because I thought, I've only been to Omaha once, and it was during the winter, and it was snow up to your yin-yang, and there were tumbleweeds rolling around all everywhere, and I really was not thrilled about leaving my home group and my sponsorship that was so rock solid for me. But God had another plan, and once again, I got the chance to trust him with all my heart. And so we moved to Omaha, and my sponsor in Little Rock knew that my dad was terminally ill. And he said, she said to me, you need to find another sponsor because you need someone close by. And that's when I got my sponsor, Judy, that gave me this, well, her husband gave me her book. Been a couple years since Judy passed away, and I got to come to Omaha and lay down on her bed. She was bald as a cucumber. She was dying from colon cancer. And I got to say goodbye, and I got to thank her, because when I moved to Omaha, Bill and I got a housewarming present from his former wife. His daughter came and lived with us. And I've never had kids, but that was, those years were really exciting. But I found in Omaha rock solid Al-Anon recovery, and Bill found rock solid AA. As a matter of fact, Omaha is still one of my favorite places. You get a chance, go there to some meetings. It's unbelievable. From there, I'm just going to continue with this before I close out, since I do have some time. Bill and I lived there for 4 years, and then he got transferred again, and we moved to St. Louis, here in St. Louis. And we lived here for not quite 2 years. Was it two? 2 years. And then Bill got transferred back to Omaha. And during this time, my job was, I'd always find hopefully the worst house in the best neighborhood, fix it up, and we would sell it, and off through the races we would go. So we got to move back to Omaha. And My rock solid program was still there. My friends were still there, and I thank you all for welcoming me back. But by that time, Bill and I wanted to retire. He was ready to retire. And we had found a beautiful place down in Florida called Sanibel Island. Wow, was it a magnificent place. And we went there after my dad had died a year later. And the first year we were down there, we borrowed from the pension plan and bought a condo. We did not speak all the way home on that first trip, because we kept saying, what have we done? Oh my God, can we afford this? How are we going to be able to do this? But God had other plans. And after a year and a half of living in Omaha the second time, the company my husband worked for offered a early retirement package, and my husband got to retire, and we got to live down in Florida, and oh my gosh, what beautiful recovery we found there as well. And I have had a sponsor wherever we have lived, and they are all different. I could describe them to you, but I guarantee you, don't look for a certain wrapping on the package, because you could shortchange yourself. That first sponsor was so regimented. I mean, I went to a meeting one night and I had a headache, and she knew that I was still latched on to Bill for everything that was going to happen because I was still wounded about he didn't want to get married, and we did get married, and I'm nuttier than a pet squirrel. And I said to her, excuse me, but do you have any aspirin? And she gave me a cup of Tylenol. I started to get up, or Advil, I don't remember what. She grabbed my arm and pulled me down and said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to take the aspirin. She goes, no. You go home and have Bill take that aspirin. I'm sure you're going to feel better. That's the kind of sponsor she was. Uh-huh. Tough cookie. I called her one time. I mean, by this time, those first 2 years of marriage, Bill is still uncertain about why we should have gotten married. It wasn't about me. It was about him and his guilt with his kids. But boy, I took it personally. And it was a tough, tough time. And I called this sponsor and said, I was crying. And I kept starting off with Bill did this and Bill did that. And we got disconnected. So I called her back and I said, we got disconnected, and off to the races I went, just talk about all of what Bill did. And I got disconnected again. And I called her back and I said, you know, I just need you to know that something's wrong with the phone line. She says, there's nothing wrong with the phone line, you twit. I'm hanging up on you. When you want to keep the focus on you, call me back and then I'll talk to you. And she hung up again. So wasn't much arguing. If you wanted what she had, you had to be willing to go to any lengths. So we moved to Omaha, and I found out later that first sponsor said, boy, I had a tough time doing that because I didn't want to let go of you, but I knew you needed somebody there with skin on. And that's when I found Judy as my sponsor. And I went from this regimented thing to, it was like having Picasso's daughter for a sponsor. I can tell you, she came up with the most bizarre things you can ever imagine. She was an artist. She'd been in Al-Anon for a long time. And oh my God, we had some of the greatest, funniest times you can ever imagine. But Judy had this imagination, and it would just blossom on things. We were supposed to do a Al-Anon workshop one time. And of course, Judy was late, because Judy was late to everything. And we were supposed to be chairing, and so we were supposed to be there to open up at 8:30. It is 10 after 9 when Judy comes to pick me up. And I threw this fit out in the yard. Where have you been? I said, do you know how late we are? We're supposed to open the church. What are you doing? And she said, I had to stop and get batteries. What in the name of God is she going to use batteries for? I said, batteries? And she said, yeah, I've got this Mexican hat, and I want Mike to walk around with a boombox playing Don't Worry, Be Happy as we start the workshop. And so I had to have batteries because it's not long enough, the cord, for him to walk around. I told her, I says, when you die, I am going to write on your tombstone, the late Judy Mize. And that day that I got to lay on that bed before Judy passed away, we laughed about that. And I thanked her for helping me find a recovery program that helped me lighten up. And each one of my sponsors have done that over the years. Bill and I have moved 17 times in 37 years. We've sold two places, totally furnished, you just walk out. I don't recommend it because you don't have sheets, towels, knives, and forks. You have to start all over again. But to end this today, since I did wind up talking about prayer and meditation, I want to close from what I said from this little book, As We Understood. Now, if you want to listen, you can. If you want to close your eyes, you can. It's not that long. But I want to read something to you as I close with a meditation. On page 214 and page 215. Dear God, I am powerless and my life is unmanageable without your help and guidance. I come to you today because I believe you can restore and renew me to meet my needs today. Since I cannot manage my life or my affairs, I have decided to give them to you. I put my life, my will, my thoughts, my desires, and ambitions in your hands. I give you all of me, the good and the bad, the character defects and shortcomings, my selfishness, resentments, and problems. I know that you will work them out in accordance with your plan. Such as I am, take and use me in your service. Guide and direct my ways and show me what to do for you. I cannot control or change my friends or loved ones, so I release them into your care for your loving hands to do with as you will. Just keep me loving and free from judging them. If they need changing, God, you'll have to do it. I can't. Just make me willing and ready to be of service to you, to have my shortcomings removed, and to do my best. Help me to see how I have harmed others and make me willing to make amends to them all. Keep me ever mindful of thoughts and actions that harm myself and others, and which separate me from your light, your love, and your spirit. And when I commit these errors, make me aware of them and help me to admit each one promptly. I am seeking to know you better, to love you more. I am seeking the knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry it out. Amen. So be it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you.